An early morning start takes our three adventurers, Kasila from Brazil, Kezia from Kenya, and Gabi from Germany, to a place where the sun always shines, where a rich ecosystem exists, and the only place in the world where people can encounter wild meerkats. Our guide not only knows a great deal about these fascinating creatures, but also takes a keen interest in researching their behavior and making new discoveries. For meerkats, there is not just safety in numbers, there is also companionship. These agile creatures are able to kill and even eat venomous snakes and scorpions without being hurt. They are able to survive without drinking water, getting their moisture from eating certain plants. In dry parts of the world, animals need special skills to survive. Meerkats are no exception.
Hello and welcome once again to Animal Encounters. Now we're here at Dizierkom Meerkat Park and we're actually sitting on top or very close to a meerkat burrow. Now under here is about 11 meerkats and a few babies. And they're very shy, so it's going to take them some time to come up. Now meerkats are very close family bonds, but they're also very wild, especially these ones. So our work here today is to sit and wait.
It's 6 o'clock in the morning and the sun is just rising over the Karoo, a semi-arid area near Oudtshoorn, South Africa.
I think they're of a higher intelligence than your average animal because they don't live by instinct like your average animal does. They live by tuition. Everything they know is taught to them by their peers, by their older brothers and sisters. They get taught. That's why you cannot keep a meerkat. Take a meerkat that's been in captivity and bring him out here. You can't release him here because they don't do well because nobody has taught them. So, but let's drink our coffee. Meerkat is a universal word. It's like apartheid. It's a universal word. You don't get it in a different language. Meerkat is a meerkat, but the Dutch also call it an aardman. And an aardmengen in German, but the rest of the world call them meerkat. The fancy guys call it serikata.
Okay.
But I don't use those fancy words. I'm not a scientist. One thing about a meerkat, they do a sentry thing in the morning and they refresh the picture in their mind. They got a photographic memory and they take a picture of everything in their surroundings. If anything changes, it's dangerous. So your position, if you want to take the cameras, try to be in a position where you can get all the shots you want without moving too far away. If you move, it's going to be a move and then you're going to be there for a while because let them get used to you there. And your movements, please don't scratch your head like that. Just a flowing motion. And anything with slings, if you hand the camera to somebody with a sling on it, that is a snake, and they don't like those. So, take your sling and then hand it. Okay. Those clouds, you can see a little hill sticking out. Now that's where I started my research. It's just over this horizon, there's a murky three peaks, little peak sticking out. Now that's where I started with my research. From there to here, in a straight line, without including this massive military training base, which I can't go in. That side of the base and this side, I've worked with 9 different groups of meerkats. So there's nine different, just in line here, I'm not talking that direction, I'm just talking this line. This is the area I've worked in. Mm-hmm. The weather is good, it's warm, they might come out any moment. So listen for my voice. If I say stop, where you are, freeze. Let them, the one that comes out first, just get used to you and then move further. But go on with it now. Okay. Average family size is between 20 to 25. That's an average meerkat size. Then you get your super groups that's like 50, but they're not sustainable. Under 20 is a sustainable group. And this group was 6 when I found them. They've grown up to 13. I've lost 2 in the meantime, 1 to predators, 1 to a boyfriend. Gone off to start their own family, and then she's now had babies the 25th of last month, which is 2 weeks ago, and the babies come out the first time in about 3.5 weeks. You see them for the first time.
D.V. Glenister loves the Karoo. He loves the wide open spaces, the fresh air, the beautiful mountain ranges, and the sunshiny days, of which there are an average 330 per year. D.V. runs a company called Meerkat Adventures. On most mornings, he takes guests out to see the wild meerkats. Habituation took him around 6 months. He would start at 300 meters and then come closer and closer until the meerkats accepted him. Later, he was able to bring guests for close-up encounters with the meerkats. Not much research has been done on meerkats, and so D.V. has a keen interest recording new discoveries about meerkat behavior.
I feel so privileged to be here because this is the only place in the world that you can come so close to wild meerkat.
Finally, two meerkats made their appearance from the burrows beneath the ground.
Was it 2 of the 3 musketeers, 3 babies, the dominant female is the second one from the left, and then the one away from there's 2 standing. The one on this side is another mature female. That's the only mature female in the group other than the dominant female. And she's also lactating at the moment because there's babies. Mature females in the family are not allowed to breed, but they have the function of raising their mothers young. They even lactate and feed their babies. There is no such meaning to the word sericata, but the closest related word to that is sericate. They are sericate mothers to their mothers young. That is my conclusion. Notice they're all facing the sun. They are regulating their body temperature. Even though they're mammals and they can shiver like you and me to generate heat, shivering burns fuel, and that fuel is body fat. They do not carry body fat. So when they shiver, they burn body fuel, body tissue, and that will then take much longer to rebuild your body tissue than body fat. So they can't afford to lose any body tissue. They've got a built-in solar panel in their tummies area, which have got a lot of veins and blood vessels. The skin is darker on their tummies, and they're facing the sun. It's a very sensitive such a thing. If I want to move a meerkat's position, I can control them in a way by just. Is it my Look at the first meerkat on your closest to you. I'm going to move her from the position she's standing. I just stopped the sun, took the heat away, and she's moving to a position where she's in the sun again. They want to be in the sun. It's very important. So, and the solar panel is a very sensitive thing for them.
When the baby meerkats start leaving the burrow system, they take on a mentor. One of the adults will teach it survival skills and how to catch and eat food. For example, when eating a scorpion, the grown meerkat will teach the baby to start eating at the sting and finish at the head so as not to be stung. With a snake, on the other hand, they will start by eating at the head. Because of the desert-like conditions, most of the meerkat's food is underground. The drier the season, the deeper the meerkat has to dig for its food. Mentors will teach the young ones how to sniff their food out from up to 30 centimeters underground.
You know, when a meerkat comes out of childhood and into adulthood, he finds a mentor, someone to guide him, someone to show him where and what to do and how to do things. And I've learned that it's wonderful to have a mentor, and I'm urging you, if you don't have a mentor, find one. Wisdom always comes out of someone who's older, someone who knows what's the whereabouts, how to do things, and I know that it has helped me. And if you're an older person, look for a younger person to mentor and guide through life.
They've got the one instinct. When they get a warning for danger, their tails usually go up as a sign of danger, like a flashlight, and they would run for cover. With a baby, when that instinct comes and the tail goes up, the legs go stiff as well. Everything goes stiff because he doesn't know the leg's got to run. Something's got to go stiff, but we don't know yet what. So they've got to learn to do all those things without getting confused.
Meerkats usually forage up to 3 kilometers from their burrows, but when they have babies, they don't go as far. They appoint a babysitter and will come back every 4 hours or so to relieve the babysitter and to feed the babies.
The great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers built this. They're just expanding it. This burrow system is about maybe 200 years old, 300, I don't know. This is a long time going. This was flat area. All this ground has been taken out underneath and put in on top. So it is done over many years. I don't think the oldest female here has had anything to do with one chamber, new chamber. This is done. Every time they enter a hole, they don't, only when they're frightened, they'll run down. But usually they come to the entrance and they walk in, always shooting what's in front of them backwards. So always new debris is coming out, new sand. So they're expanding all the time. They ask if what's their natural predators. 90, in my experience, 99%, 95% humans. I've lost one meerkat that I don't know to what, and I'm assuming it's a prey animal because I haven't found the body. But in 2.5 years working with 9 different groups of meerkats, I've lost 38 meerkats. 22 in one day to secondary poisoning. They went to forage in an orchard where the farmers got orchards. 2 weeks before they harvest, they put out poison for the birds that eat the fruit. The birds fall, they eat the bird, they die. They can take the poison from a cobra. They can eat a cobra's head or scorpion's poison sac, and they won't get sick from it.
Do meerkats make good pets? The question to ask is, do any wild animals make good pets?
The only meerkat sanctuary in the world is in California somewhere, which is funny, but it just brought my attention to the fact that there's a problem with the pet trade, and that is where I come in. I'm not a conservationist as such. If you know of anybody that has a meerkat as a pet,
because they will not have that meerkat for longer than a year. Then they won't want it anymore because of its nature. It's going to be either put in a small cage in the backyard, or just dumped somewhere in an open field, because people don't want to expose themselves to having an illegal pet, because it is illegal. It doesn't matter where you go. I know some American states, you don't need exotic permits for exotic pets, but it is illegal to have a meerkat because it carries rabies. If it eats a rotten animal, it can carry the rabies, and it bites you and you got the rabies, you can die. The thing is to do is contact a local nature conservation officer and say there's a meerkat, and they should take it away. They unfortunately gonna euthanize it.
The Zuko Guest Farm is 8 kilometers from Oudtshoorn. On the Mosselbay Road, we have stunning mountains right around. The Zuko also have stunning views on the Olifants riverbed. There's lots of fish. We can hear the fish eagle pair every day. Other activities we have is by cycling, fishing. You can walk around in safety. I started about 10 years ago with the guest house. It was a normal house, and gradually I renovated rooms and then add more and more. And this is a whole package. I love what I'm doing. I love people, cooking, interior designing. I also love to spoil people a little bit.
On the 2,000-hectare farm of Dzirku, the Meerkat project is being run.
Well, every morning I come, I take people out on tours. Then I would usually go back home, have breakfast, and I will come back in the afternoons and then come and observe them while they're foraging, because that's the best time on my own with the meerkats, no interference from the tourists, and I can then study them better. And then I stay with them till quite late in the evening, and then till they go underground, then I go home. Okay, this is an old aardvark porcupine burrow. Now, porcupine burrow usually have a signature, either some porcupine quills or it have the bones of other animals lying around. Because porcupines lose a lot of quills, they would collect bones of other animals and chew on them for calcium. You can see small chisel marks where the porcupine has chewed on this to get some calcium out of it. But this is an abandoned hole. The meerkats will use a hole like this or like that for safety when they have a sentry out here. Now, just to demonstrate to you, which I haven't told you, is how a sentry work. A meerkat has a small device in its ear, a flap. But the moment they dig, instinctively their ears shut off, close. So they've been digging underground, dust and sand doesn't fall in there. So when they're out foraging, and they're digging, they don't hear a warning alarm clearly because their ears tend to instinctively close off. So they would dig and listen. And what they listen for is the sentry. The sentry stands here and everybody forage, he finds an elevated position and look out. And he says every 5 seconds or so, he says, it's all right. It's fine. It's cool. Go on. It's fine. And then if they stop digging and they hear it, they go on digging. And if they stop, and for 10, 15 seconds, they don't hear a confirmation that's fine. They know it's time to run. Because the sentry has either been taken by a predator or has gone down a hole. This is their water bottles. You can see the water coming out of it. This little succulent plant, they get moisture from the food, the insects, but that's the... If you never believe in God, come work in nature, you'll see God. He has designed this so that their water, what they can drink, the plant that they can get their water from, grows mainly on their burrow. If you look, this specific succulent plant don't grow out here in the bush, in the felt. Right here around the mound. You can see where it's elevated. You can see the color of this plant. And it's just where the ground is elevated where the meerkats have been disturbing the soil.
We asked DV if we could come to the farm and do some filming of the meerkats as they come home to their burrows in the evening.
When I came down, I saw some movement over there. It looked like something when I was up there, but it was the distance too far. I couldn't be sure.
At first, he wasn't sure. The meerkats were not used to people besides himself coming at that time. He cautiously agreed.
What are the chances of them not coming back home today?
Yeah, they have to. There's babies. If there's babies, they have to come back.
We waited and waited. Would the meerkats return? What if they didn't return and then we would feel responsible for the predicament of the young? To our relief, they started appearing, apparently out of nowhere.
Can you see them? Right here. They're coming down the road now.
Like a shepherd safely leading his sheep, Devi called his meerkats and walked with them back to the safety of their burrows. I was amazed at how the meerkats trusted Devi. They trusted that the strangers he brought to observe them every day are not going to harm them. I observed a very deep trusting relationship here between man and beast.
There is such a sense of community among the meerkats. Each meerkat has a particular task, whether it be the sentry that warns the mob about danger or the babysitter that takes special care of the new babies. Each one is dedicated and works toward the well-being of the community.
From the solo panels on the chests of the meerkats to the way in which their ears conveniently close while they are burrowing and the way in which they sense temperature, these are all evidence of intricate design. I believe that God took great delight in designing the lives of meerkats.
Der Tag neigt sich dem Ende zu und die Erdmännchen verschwinden wieder in ihrem Bau. Dort werden sie eng aneinander gekuschelt die Nacht verbringen. Bei der Begegnung mit den Erdmännchen haben mich nicht nur die Tiere selbst fasziniert, sondern auch wie Gott für die Tiere sorgt. So wachsen zum Beispiel die Pflanzen, mit der Erdmännchen ihren Flüssigkeitshaushalt ausgleichen, nur auf Erdreich, das bewegt wurde, also genau auf dem Bau der Erdmännchen. Faszinierend, oder? Das waren meine tierischen Begegnungen für heute. Ich freue mich schon auf das nächste Mal.
Devi loves his meerkats and he also loves his creator. The same God that created these amazing creatures created the sun, moon and the stars.